Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
You think you know me?
On this day!
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, John Dunn, Max Pennell, Tennessee getting set. Take on Southern Miss down in Hattiesburg tomorrow at 3 o'clock on ESPNU and ESPN Plus. Sunday's game, ESPN Plus only, from what I'm hearing. Is that correct or am I just skewed?
That would make sense, considering there's like probably going to be 10 to 12 games on Sunday.
Am I the only one here that hates ESPN Plus?
I'm a fan.
TV is ridiculous.
What's that?
The way they do baseball on TV is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to watch something else that doesn't even pertain to the sport that's bringing in nowhere near as much money as baseball over a super regional. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, 100%. They'll probably have ping pong championships on or something.
You're not fired up for the Connecticut Sun Phoenix Mercury game on Saturday? That's gonna be,
buddy, I'd rather shove bamboo up underneath my toenails than to watch the WNBA.
No kidding.
I mean, it is what it is. College basketball, women's college basketball, is more exciting to me than the WNBA.
Yeah.
By miles.
It's not even close.
Bro, that's who was it? It was Iowa and was it LSU or South Carolina that was battling back and forth. It was this last NCAA season, man. It was crazy. That Caitlin Clark chick, dude, she was unreal.
Yeah, she was fun to watch.
Well, and think about this. One of the guys at work and I were talking earlier, and you see Angel Reese in the Starry commercials, the Pepsi commercials. She's going to make more money now than what she'll ever make in the WNBA, most likely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not even close, man.
Like, think about that.
If I'm a good women's college basketball player, I'm using my COVID year 100%.
Oh, absolutely.
Milk it.
Doing everything I can to stay in there.
Yeah, because you get more out of that one extra year of college than what you do in the WNBA.
That in and of itself should show how much more exciting women's college basketball is than the WNBA. All they got to do is fix the WNBA. It's not hard.
You can't. They lose money. Every time they step on the floor, they lose money.
Well, when you have things like, we won't get political, but when you have certain political things going on, people just want to watch ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It used to be different, man. You think of names like Tamika Catching, Shamiqua Holdsclaw. I mean, we could just say her name off. Amazing women basketball player, Diana Taurasi. I mean, we could just go on and on.
Did we ever talk about their politics once?
No, but we don't have to at all. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're exactly right, man. Like, it's super easy to just fix that. We just want to watch them play ball. They're legends.
Yeah. That's why Michael Jordan never got involved in politics. And he got a lot of crap in North Carolina for not endorsing a particular candidate. Mm-hmm. And he went to his mother and he said, Mom, Republicans buy sneakers too.
I mean, that's a smart man. People go to sports. It's not, they need an escape. You know, a lot of people use sports as an escape from their everyday lives. You know, maybe they don't like their job. Maybe they don't like this, that, or the other. Maybe they don't like their neighbor and they're just miserable every day. Their one escape is that game on Saturday or those basketball games through the week or baseball games on the weekend, you know, and people don't like to have that muddied up with politics. They have that crammed down their throat enough.
Right. And I mean, especially if you have a Facebook, you have a Twitter, you have an Instagram, you're going to get exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And this is our way of getting away from it.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, we had these particular nights. It's like, okay, this night is going to be dedicated to these people. This night is going to be dedicated to these people. Okay, well, what you're doing is further driving away and dividing each group with every time you host one of these special appreciation nights.
Yep.
I don't care about who you're dedicating the game to. Give me dollar hot dog night. Give me dollar beer night. Dollar pizza night. I will run you out of business, but give me dollar pizza night.
They're getting away from the family dynamic of everything, it seems like, and that is what is driving sales down. I mean, people want to take their families to games. You know, that is a family event. It's
when they're chasing this phantom fan that doesn't exist. You know, that's like JL and I have said for weeks now, you know, especially with the Chicago Street Race and all the other stuff that NASCAR is trying to do. They're chasing a phantom fan that does not exist, much like, you know, the NFL, the NBA, all of these major organizations, they're chasing a fan that does not exist.
It seems like everything that a lot of these folks do is an attempt to go viral. That's what I feel like, is that they're appealing to the younger generation of people in the hopes that something will spread like a wildfire online. I'm so sick of hearing the word viral. I'm so sick of hearing TikTok, hashtag this, that, you know, just... I don't know. I don't even know. It drives me absolutely crazy.
I mean, here's the thing. If you do, quote-unquote, go viral, you do have a post or you do have one of these appreciation nights, it's going to be like January 6th. Everybody's going to forget about it 3 days later.
Yep.
I mean, am I wrong?
No, you're 100% right.
That's just like, could you tell me one appreciation night other than military appreciation that UT does every year?
Season ticket holder appreciation, that might be the only other one.
But my point is, it's like you can go to a certain event and it can be, you know, college colors night or whatever group appreciation night. If you go to that game, are you going to remember that it was that appreciation night 3 days later?
No, the only instance where I even honestly am just like, hey, that's cool, let's do that, you know, outside of veterans, man, is when they do something for children. Anytime yes. They do something for kids, that's the only time I'm like, hey, this is awesome. This
free
is a great
kid night. Bring your
exactly.
kid. Gets in
perfect.
Free. Dollar exactly. hot dog. Dollar beer night. You're not going to remember half of it, but guess what? That's going to be an awesome memory of what you can remember.
Absolutely. And see, that's what it's about, making memories. It's not, you're not there, the NBA and all these other organizations, they're all they see you is a dollar. You're there to make memories. That stuff lasts a lifetime. When that dollar is long gone and depreciated, that memory is only going to increase in value.
If you really wanted to get Tennessee basketball fans going, score 90 and get a free Papa John's pizza, and you get the coupon as you leave.
Let's make it Hunt Brothers.
We can do that. But just imagine how excited the fan base would be, even if you were winning by 20. Think about the energy that would be in that arena.
It would be awesome, man. Everybody would be on the edge of their seat just waiting, you know, just waiting on that 90th point to come through, and that would keep people invested. You know, it would be something fun, too. It doesn't have to be like a bad, you don't have to associate any sort of negative connotation, like any sort of negative publicity with yourself to get the attention. You don't have to do that. You don't have to segregate people. You don't have to... you know, play favorites, you know, to get attention. You know, you just do something fun, something, you know, something simple, something easy, something innocent. Free pizza, dude. It doesn't get much easier than that. You know what I mean?
Oh, you'd sell out. You would make your money back in ticket sales alone.
Easily.
Let's go right to the phones. Phil is first. What do you say, Philly?
What do you say, Jake Smith?
Philly!
How you and the boys doing?
Doing good.
I was kind of upset today. I turned the radio on and heard Lazy Radio. Know what? I heard the National Feed going on.
Yeah, that's a common trend there.
I mean, I got to give the View your props for showing up today. You know what?
Hell, Whoopi Goldberg, Russell O'Donnell, and Marcus Vieira.
Whoopi Goldberg sends me.
Yo, Bears, listen, I love it.
He's going to call in and cuss Max out here in about 5 seconds. Don't worry.
I'm glad y'all got Max trained, you know, already, you know.
Yeah, it did not take him long at all.
Good.
I mean, you probably got a new one gonna be probably over there pretty soon too. That new one they got over there, he won't last long over there. You know what I mean?
Oh, he doesn't align with the views.
Guys, I really hope Tennessee wins tomorrow, because if they don't, it's gonna be the biggest. I mean, we talk about how great we are and just act like, you know, we're just gonna show up and win down there. I don't know what they're smoking over there. You know what I mean?
That's
game one's important.
Better than what we are.
I agree with that game one. I mean, you got to win that game one.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's a best of seven. I mean, it's a best of three. You have to win game one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You got to go down there tomorrow in that swamp that is Mississippi and win. You got to find a way to pull one out.
They got two pitchers, man. That first game, if we can spin their best pitcher and just deplete him, we'll be fine, I think. This is the best I've felt about Tennessee making Omaha in a very long time.
They got the line right now at 1.5 for Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean, good luck to them. I think Tennessee got a better team, but, you know, we had a better team than Notre Dame last year, so what happened?
Yeah, that's what made that one hurt so bad, is the fact that we lost a team that we were leaps and miles better than.
Yep. And this team's battle hardened, though. That's what makes this team different from that last year's team, like we've talked about. I don't feel like last year's team had to deal with a whole lot of adversity. They just kind of bulldozed through everybody. This team has fought. I mean, even recently, you look at the regional, the Clemson regional, you know, last week, and I think it was you, Philly, that said that game was the second most viewed game of all time. I mean, that's because people like to watch them. You know, I mean, the way they fought, the craziest thing in my mind is bases loaded, no outs, Chase Burns still on the mound. I'm still just sitting here like, what are you doing, Tony? And the game's been over for a week. You know, it's crazy to me, man. But Tennessee's in great shape right now. I like that they're getting hot at the right time. But they've faced some adversity, and they've come through the other side of it smelling like a rose. I think that's going to play to their benefit.
Is there anything new on football record?
Not that I've seen. John, you're on that like a hawk, usually. Have you heard anything?
Yeah. It's kind of just stalling out right now. It's that time of the year where everything's just kind of quietening down a little bit, kind of the calm before the storm situation. Right now for Tennessee recruiting, everything's just, like I said, pretty much stalled for the second. But that's not indicative of how recruiting's going to wrap up or anything. It's just that time of year.
How's Rich Bruns recruiting them?
Y'all with that Rich Bruin stuff. No, this incoming class we got coming in is pretty good. In terms of recruiting for next year, I mean, it's, you know, June 2023. I'm not too worried about that yet. But this incoming class coming in, I think Barnes did really, really well in the portal. You know, I love Rick Barnes, so I'm not going to – you know how I am, Philly. So
I know. I mean, you're kind of like the 3 o'clock crew.
Just call me John Behar, I guess. I might as well just join him up there. But I can't stand Joy Behar. But I like what Rick Barnes is doing right now, man. Done great in the portal, bringing in some just crazy good talent right now. This is gonna be the most talented roster Rick Barnes has had. So after this season, Philly, Polish Joe, all y'all listening. After this season, if he doesn't do something in March, you'll hear me saying that it's time to move on as well. Okay, I'm just a little more patient.
I hope Jake records that.
Oh, I got it right here, buddy.
I mean, Jake's got me making an idiot of myself on the radio, but of course I had about 20 beers that day.
So. Yeah, but we turned you into a rap genius, Phil. That's what we did.
Well, I don't know about rapping, but the. You got to watch Tennessee sports. You got to get blown away, you know.
That one way do. Or the other. What is it going to take for tomorrow's game, Phil? You thinking a 12-er, or you think we need to go up to an 18?
I take it all you can get, man.
What are you drinking, Phil? It's your beer choice.
Miller Lite.
Well,
that's what I'll be drinking.
I pegged you for a Bud Light guy, Phil.
No, I wouldn't want to do it no more. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my goodness, I've hated that.
I'm gonna quit eating at Cracker Barrel now. You know?
That's fine. Crystal still loves us.
Well, Crystal, you one bad thing about it, you gotta go to the drive-thru though. You know?
Yeah, that's the only bad thing.
Might take 30-40 minutes. You know, it's pretty cool. You know?
It is, but that's a good thing about it. You know, it's gonna be fresh by the time you get there, and if it ain't, then Yeah, we got problems.
Yeah, and then your digestive system is in an uproar the next day, you know?
That it is, but it's well worth it for me.
But one more thing, I get off here. This, Rick Barnes has not got a point guard for two straight years. You think he's going to get one this year?
No.
Isn't Freddie Pallone a point guard?
Technically, yeah. A two.
There's no true point guard over there except for Ziegler, and he's got an injured leg.
Yep.
Smart, ain't it?
I think he grabs one out of necessity, to be honest with you.
Well, I hope he does. Okay. 2 years of counting. But, hey, what do you think about Kentucky, though? They're going to have 9 freshmen and 2 sophomores on their roster. That's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, you talk about getting blown away. They're going to have to get blown away to even watch them step on the floor.
Has TJ called in lately?
He called in last week, and I flushed him, and we've not heard from him since.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I call 3 o'clock, though, because Russell's got a soft spot in his heart for TJ. See ya.
Appreciate the phone call, Philly. Let's keep it rolling. Bryson is next. What do you say, Bryson?
Jake the Snake.
What do you say, buddy?
Oh, God. I feel pretty good about tomorrow. How y'all feel?
I feel pretty
fantastic.
Good.
Confident. You want to know why I feel so good about tomorrow?
Why? Because Rick Barnes ain't coaching?
You took the words right out of my mouth. And Olivier Cumwine, our starting pitcher, and Josiah Mid Jordan James in our starting shortstop. So I feel pretty good about it.
Oh, man. If you don't know, this is Bryson, the old intern, here on Overtime.
He's a good one.
Better times. Wish you wouldn't have said that. Now I got to watch my mouth a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, it could be worse. You could just drop off some dry cleaning that smells like hot dog water.
There it is. I just got to call in and ask John Dunn a question because I just was listening to the Philly call.
All right.
So.
How many years of postseason failure is it going to take for you to hop off the Barnes train?
I don't really deem last season. For instance, like last year, the Purdue year, I don't really deem those as failures. Sweet 16, I mean, did they fall short? Yeah, but failure I think is a strong word with that. So I've given him a little bit more leeway than most would.
I'm going back to the Texas days.
Yeah, so I mean, that's where I don't. I just strictly base my stuff off the Tennessee, his record here at Tennessee and things like that. I mean, just the reason I'm so lenient with Rick Barnes is when you look throughout Tennessee men's basketball history, there is none. Mm-hmm. You'll find nothing. The reason that Tennessee has consistent expectation, the reason that people are unhappy with the March success right now is because of Rick Barnes. Without him, none of that. Nobody gives a crap anyway anymore. Yeah, Bruce Pearl kind of started everything, and I agree with that. Had he been able to stay here for a long time and do his thing, it is untelling where Tennessee would be right now in terms of basketball. But that's not how it happened. We've got Rick Barnes, who's a Hall of Fame coach. He is – you always, always have a chance with this guy. Literally every year, you've always got a shot. So give me a shot every single year versus one shot every 10 years, I'm fine with that.
When are we going to – I mean, I get it. We really don't have a shot. And my opinion. I was going to swing Jake in there too, but I'll just talk for myself. I don't think we have a shot with this guy. But when are we going to start taking basketball seriously like we take every other sport on this campus seriously? I don't feel like we're taking it seriously as long as this guy's our head coach.
Do you think it feels like that old mindset that we have with baseball? It's just the bridge to
That's
get us
exactly
to the next sport.
We didn't take it seriously till we got lucky and landed on Tony Vitello.
Yeah.
I mean, the women's success isn't acceptable this past couple of years for most Tennessee fans. Why is the men's success acceptable just because we haven't been good? I mean, we're a top 5 athletic department in the country. Easily.
Yeah, how much of that's been men's basketball throughout history, though?
I mean, come on, man. Thank you, Rick Barnes, for bringing us to where we're at. But
grass isn't always greener.
Let's turn a page.
Oh, it is.
Grass is not always greener.
Right, oh, it is.
Yep, I'm right there with you, Matt. Who? Who are they going
to
bring in right
let's
now?
Go right, Baylor. Let's go to Baylor. Let's go to Baylor, and let's take their coach right out of their backyard.
He's not leaving Baylor for Tennessee.
Nope.
You give anybody enough of a bag.
What is he making there, $3 million?
Two and a half, I thought.
Even worse.
So
How long have you been at Baylor?
Double his salary?
20 years. Built that program from the ground up.
Exactly. And they've just – how long has it been that Baylor has been what you would call competitive?
Well, I mean, they just won a national championship a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Outside of that, a few years ago, over his career, how long has he been competitive?
Well, I mean, that's one more national championship than Rick Barnes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm not. I think you're thinking I'm going the opposite way with this. What I'm saying is, I don't think he leaves Baylor because he's built that into something. I'm not really comparing him to his success to Rick Barnes' success. Rick Barnes has coached millions of places, and hey, I feel like he's done a great job everywhere he's been. I mean,
how much would it take to get Billy Donovan?
Oh, God.
I doubt it. I don't think you could.
I don't think Tennessee's is an attractive spot for basketball as some fans think.
The only thing that makes it, like for me, that makes it attractive is the ultimate goal for these kids is to go to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you have the best arena other than Rupp that is set up the same way an NBA arena is, unless you go play for a Memphis who plays in the FedEx Forum or another team that plays in an NBA arena. This is the only place other than Kentucky that I feel like has that atmosphere that you get at a pro basketball game.
I mean, yeah, if you can convince five stars to go play in Arkansas, Alabama,
why would they not come here? They don't have anywhere near the facilities that we do.
No, or the collective.
Arkansas basketball is far more history.
Yeah,
a lot more.
They do.
I mean, I
would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a
10 times better coach, but the thing is, why would a player not want to come here? Why would a player not want to come here? With the collective we've got, I feel like our facilities are top-notch. They're only getting better as well. Our athletic department is going up as a whole.
The style of offense we run?
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's the style of play that we have. That's why they don't want to come here.
But he still gets five-star recruits, though.
Exactly. Still pulls them in.
But the point I think Max is trying to make, though, if I'm catching your drift, is we get these five stars in. But then
we don't develop them.
That's the thing is some of them are projected lottery picks when they get here.
They don't leave lottery picks.
I think that also goes back to high school evaluation like we talked about the other day, man. I feel like it depends on where you go to school, who your family is. You know, a lot of that stuff does play a factor.
100%.
That's a great point, and I want to know who evaluated Josiah Jordan James.
Listen, we agree on quite a bit more than you think. Olivier, thank goodness. Like, I'm not going to throw him under the bus or anything, but I almost say this, thank goodness. Josiah, I will say this, and I want to make this known very well. I think he is a fantastic ambassador for university. I think he's a great person. I think he's good for university in terms of a leadership, you know, kind of transitioning kids from high school to college. But, man, keep him off the court.
He was a better freshman than Julian Phillips was, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree. Which yeah. I'm not sitting here claiming Phillips was, you know, J.J. Redick or anybody either.
But, I mean, he's the one to me out of all the five stars we've reeled in under Barnes that I just scratch my head how he.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everyone goes back to Robert Hubbs and Scotty Hobson as the two biggest five-star busts. Now Triple J's getting lumped in there with him. And Triple J has produced the least out of those three.
Yeah, by a lot. I think Hubs kind of, I mean, he was a five-star and didn't really pan out like we thought, but there were games where I was like, okay, I didn't see that coming, you know?
Josiah's the same player
Jake,
right
I know y'all
now
gotta...
that he was the moment he stepped on campus.
True.
Who, Josiah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I know JL's coming on later, right?
Yep.
Yeah, well, I'll go ahead and give my pick. Kyle Larson is my pick, but I'm sure it'll be Kyle Busch. But I'm going to roll with Larson. And I'm going to give a Philly exit here. So, well, Josiah Jordan James is a good ambassador for one thing, and that's cool beans. See ya.
Oh, God.
He ain't wrong, though.
Oh, there it is. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
You and me, I know that last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met. But baby, baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet. No way it was our last night. No way it was our last night. No way it was.
up. I see your taillights in the dust. You call your mama, I call your bluff.
And back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Damn it, Bryson. Damn it. I was prepared to not talk about basketball today. But here we are, once again. And, of course, I'm more in the camp of leaning towards it might be time to move on from Rick Barnes. Max is in the middle. Dunn leans more towards we need to keep him around. So, after we lost to FAU in the Sweet 16, I started looking at not the season as a whole, but once conference play started. Because before that, yeah, you won the Bad Boy Mowers Invitational down the Bahamas.
Hang the banner.
Hang the banner. But when you look at how the year ended, somehow we were third in KenPom, or second in KenPom, but fifth in the conference standings. You get beat by Missouri in the conference tournament on Friday. And then everything that could have went our way in the NCAA tournament, everything that could have went our way did. You get to play a Duke team that isn't the Duke of old. You beat them. You handle business barely in the first round against Louisiana. And you're getting ready to play FAU in the Sweet 16, a team that has never even made the tournament. And you lose.
Game of destiny.
Probably, but you still got to take real world things into account here. You know, that was ours to lose, and we lost it. We didn't hit shots in the second half.
It's a matchup thing, man. Honestly, and it is a matchup thing. And FAU ended up going, what, to the Final Four?
Yes.
That's pretty crazy when you look back and think to some of the losses that Tennessee suffered in the NCAA tournament. Let's take a look at how some of those teams have fared. You look at Loyola Chicago. Who would have ever thought? Loyola Chicago, right? Sister Jean. They go on to the Final Four. You look last year at FAU, another team of destiny, goes on to the Final Four. You look back, even the Oregon State year. Didn't they make the Elite Eight that year?
Yeah.
So it's not like we're losing to teams that get bounced in the next round. You know what I mean? How did Purdue do after they lost to us? Did they lose in the Elite Eight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So we're talking about right there. That's four losses in the NCAA tournament. That's a pretty substantial chunk of games right there. So we're talking about two Final Four teams and two Elite Eight teams. And people are mad about those losses like we lost to round of 64 first round bounces. I've never understood that.
I think the biggest reason behind a lot of it is, you know, especially this past year, is that should have been us in the Final Four. We lost to a team that we were better than, and then they beat a team that was better than them.
With Kansas State. Man, basketball's different like that. It's not like what you know, Miller. You know, you played. But yeah. Basketball's different. You get one guy that gets hot, man, it doesn't matter. You can put five guys on him. He's still going to hit the shot. It's just one of those things. It's a lot different than football. It's much faster. One person can influence that game. Matchups play a big factor. Momentum plays a big factor. You look at FAU, they're a small ball shooting team. That's exactly Tennessee's weakness. The matchup was awful. You know, you look at how they played against Louisiana in the first game. They sneak by what, 3 points? Then go out and beat Duke by double digits. So basketball's a weird game, man.
Well, you know, you're talking about how we came out hot to start the year, Jake. You know, I think that's kind of what made the FAU game not surprising to me, is that whole year, once the calendar turned to 2023, all we did was play well against good teams like Duke and then play down to our competition like Missouri or Ole Miss in the SEC tournament.
Every time.
Exactly. So as much as it stung, and I agree with you that was ours for the taking, 100% bracket broke our way, that's just kind of what that team was, is they got up for the big ones and then they played down to Louisiana or Florida or FAU. So it wasn't as shocking as it was like, that's just, you know, that was the DNA and the makeup of that squad for whatever reason. Barnes could get them up, but, you know, couldn't get them up to beat the mediocre, the teams that they're better than on paper.
And that's what was so infuriating to me.
Yeah, very infuriating.
But, you know, we even did it early in the season against Colorado.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was a team we were better than. And then all of a sudden, and this is the biggest problem I have. and I will stand by this until I'm dead. You do not throw a player under the bus. If you win, you praise the players. If you lose, it's on you. We saw Zakai Ziegler and Julian Phillips get thrown under the bus this year.
Yeah, I
was don't
mad
like
about
that.
I will say that. That did stick in my craw pretty good. I'm not for that either, man. And that's one thing I will 100% agree with y'all on. That was bupkis.
That and I forgot what I was going to say. Lost my train of thought.
Max, with this team, man, you make a good point. I feel like their game plan was to beat teams at their own game, and in order to do that, they had to play to their level of competition, whether it was up or down. It seemed like they tried to match intensity and set the tone. But if you look in that Duke game, that is the one game, I mean, even more so than the Texas game earlier in the season, the Duke game in the NCAA tournament was the only game where I felt like they set the tone for the entire game.
Alabama as well. TBA.
Yeah, that one. I can agree with that wholeheartedly too. For some reason, I forget about that game.
Yeah, and I think, and not to be long-winded, but the whole crux of Rick Barnes, you know, formula to win, keep the game in the 60s and the 50s. Other than Virginia, 1 year, which they had two NBA guys, won a lottery pick, which is kind of what propelled that offense above their usual standard, which Tennessee has not had. That's not a recipe to ever win six games in a row in the NCAA tournament. You're not going to win six games in a row trying to outscore someone 62-58. Because one game, right, like FAU, for example, someone's going to shoot well. Whether your defense is great or not,
you could not make a thing.
You can't control if a guy goes off for, you know, six threes, five threes. And in that scenario, you have to have an offense that can at the very least match that and score 75. But Tennessee basically all year was like, if we give up 70, we don't have a chance.
This may be the first time that they can actually do that, though, with the talent coming in. I think this year will be the first time that they actually don't have to say, hey, let's keep this under 70, because they're still going to have – I think they're going to have good defense still. They're still going to have some very good defense, but I think the offense is going to make a dramatic jump.
Those Grant Williams teams scored in the 70s.
Yeah. Oh, they were scoring in the 80s and 90s. Like they were,
yeah.
They were scoring the ball.
They were the best hope at breaking that mold. But with this current core of players, that's all it's been is let's just try to defense people to death, and you're just never going to win six games in a row like that, let alone four to get to a Final Four.
Feels like they've added the pieces now to where offense is to the forefront. I feel like they've added a lot of shooters, a lot of experience in the portal there, guys that have scored at other places. Now, something that I haven't necessarily liked that we've done in the past is going to get these guys that, they're number one scorers in the country at mid-majors or FCS schools. We need to go get.
Need I remind you? Tyreek Key. That guy, what did he score? 18 a game at Indiana
State?
It's
like 18
State?
Or 19 a game.
Yeah.
But let me ask y'all this. Outside of the NCAA tournament, what was the most fun you had watching this team all year?
Texas.
Alabama.
Mine's actually in the form of a loss, and it was the second half against Missouri.
Great game. Great game.
And what did we do in the second half?
Scored. I think we scored. Did we score 80 points that game or 79?
Mm-hmm. And we lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buzzer beater. Back-to-back buzzer beater losses. Tennessee has some of the worst luck I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, in KenPom, I think we were, like, at the very bottom as far as luck goes.
That's crazy. That's an actual metric. I love that, though.
Oh, yeah. And then I get blasted on Twitter because I say, oh, well, did your advanced analytics tell that for you?
I love that.
Yeah. Some of them, like, I can't believe, like, that's a metric. But I that's one I actually believe in. Like, there is such a thing as luck and having bad luck. And it really did seem like in a lot of times we had very bad luck.
I mean, Vescovi's, what, a 75% free throw shooter in two separate games. He can't hit the one free throw we need late when the odds of that are 25%.
Mm-hmm. It's absurd, man. I swear. I'm still hung up on back-to-back buzzer-beater losses to Missouri.
I've never had that happen in my life.
Never seen it. No, I've never even seen that happen in a video game, dude.
No, never had it. I've seen close games.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen back-to-back close games. But I've never seen back-to-back buzzer beaters.
Threes never. As well.
Well, one of them was a half-court heave.
Yeah.
Oh man, that Vanderbilt shot. That was a good, extremely well drawn up play, the Vanderbilt one. I mean, I saw that one coming too, just as soon as the play started opening up. But that Missouri shot, wow.
I was at that Missouri game and it was
it just sucked
everything out. Everyone was going crazy and then that happened, and it was just like, all right, time to head out.
Yep.
Hitting those is one of the best feelings of all time, though. Hitting a buzzer beater is one of the greatest feelings ever.
Would you rather hit one on the road or at home?
On the road.
Oh, I don't know, man. The longest one I ever hit was at home. It was a full court, I mean 100% full court shot against Pigeon Forge to tie the game up, and literally the stands erupted. There's nothing like that, dude. Your friends, your family, like everybody from your community just going bananas for you. I mean, I'm saying at home for sure.
You had a court storm, too, if you're at home.
Yeah, I got scooped up. I was hoisted into the air by my friend Corey before the ball even went down, it seemed like.
No, there is nothing better than doing it on the road, I swear. When you can suck the life out of the gym and just hold up your finger to your mouth. Shh.
And nobody can say anything to you.
I'm telling you, I know the people of Jellico, Tennessee still hate my guts for that 3 buzzer beater game.
I'm sure they do. Especially old Ben Mitchell, Darius Marlowe, those guys.
Hey, those guys they were some ballers, man. Old Ben Mitchell playing with a dip in the whole time. I always wondered. I was like, I remember asking him. We were playing against each other. I had to guard him. He guarded me. This was a team camp. It was through the summer, so it's hot. You know, it's already we're playing ball.
Oh, you're wearing the mesh practice jerseys. Everybody's sweating through them. Everybody's gross.
He's got a dip in. I remember asking. You know, you get to talking to some guys. You formulate these little in-game relationships, and I'm talking to him. I'm like, Ben, buddy, I see you dipping every time we play. Where you spit? And his answer was easy. 2 words. I don't.
Just gutting it.
I'm like, my God, dude, how are we supposed to beat this guy? He's out here swallowing grizzly long-coat wintergreen spit.
And he could still shoot, and he could still dunk.
He could fill it up.
It was insane. Like, that's one of the better high school players that I've got the privilege of watching growing up was him. Like, he was phenomenal.
He was a good dude too. Really good guy, too.
And then, of course, I had the privilege of actually playing with Cody Malicote quite a bit when we were younger, playing AAU ball growing up. And he actually accepted an offer to go play at MTSU before he ended up going to Pikeville up in Kentucky.
Another good dude right there, though. There were some good boys from up there in Jellico. They were in our district back then. I don't know if they're still in Washburn's district or not. I'm going to assume they are just for the size of school. But yeah, man, I always enjoyed playing Jellico. Are they still the Blue Devils? Did they make them politically correct change that yet?
Surprisingly, not yet. They're still the Blue Devils.
Dude, still the Blue Devils. They haven't come for them.
For now.
Hey, so Claiborne County used to be the Blue Devils where I grew up back in the day, and they changed over to the Bulldogs in 08. And they also had one there in Midway. They called the Red Devils, and they made them change them. It's crazy.
That is interesting. And of all places.
Yeah, right.
Stay with us. Final segment, hour number one, coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, final segment of hour number one, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online at fanrunradio.com and the Lenormand Sports Medicine web stream. Check them out online today. LenormandSportsMedicine.com and on your free Fan Run Radio app. JL still be joining us in hour number two. We're going to talk some NASCAR, what happened last week, what's going to happen this week. And we're getting closer and closer to that Chicago race, which I know a lot of people are not looking forward to. And I think a lot of it has to do with safety, especially considering what happened at Indy. You know, that's a big concern for a lot of people. But, you know, it's not my choice, not my decision. You know, we asked for more road course racing. We didn't ask for street racing. We get the Charlotte Roval. That was a great race. It's been a consistently good race.
Do they still do Watkins Glen?
Yes.
Are you a fan of Watkins Glen?
Yes.
I love it.
I love Watkins Glen.
Is Sonoma the other course track?
Yes.
Right on. Which one do you like better?
Watkins Glen.
So tell me a little bit about the Chicago street race. That sounds intriguing.
Like when you look at it from the map, it almost looks like a figure eight, which scares me because man, I don't know, these street races, these cars, whether or not they're built for a road course, this is going to be a disaster. The city of Chicago doesn't even want them there. None of the citizens of Chicago want them there. Why are they even trying this? It's like, if the entire city does not want you there, just leave.
Yeah,
don't go back.
And I'm not trying to get political at all, but I'm staying out of Chicago for a while, if I'm anybody.
Buddy, it's been one of my dreams to go watch the Bulls play, and I'm not going to do that. I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. And
yeah, same.
I may or may not go. I don't know.
Cubs fans.
Yep. Fly the W, baby.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Martin.
You don't like the Smokies either, do you?
I actually like the Smokies. They're affordable, fun, family fun.
Yes.
I enjoy going to Smokies
yes.
games. I love Smokies.
And guess
games.
What? You like the Cubs.
My mom's Cubs fan, but not I.
I saw Javi Baez's first game as a Tennessee Smokey.
Can't stand him either.
Yeah. He was the one out of the three in the core that I would have traded off.
My great-grandma lived 90 years as a Cubs fan and never saw a World Series. Rough. From Clinton, Iowa.
Think about how many people have said that or could say that in heaven or wherever they're at about Tennessee basketball. It's like, man, I lived 90 years and I never saw it once. I didn't even see a Final Four.
That one.
The good news
though.
is we have other success in other programs to kind of circumvent some of that. So we're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, some people for the first time saw Tennessee beat Alabama and are able to enjoy it.
Babies.
Yeah. I remember 2006. I remember that 5 overtime game down in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, my gosh. What a game. Tennessee, I don't know if many people know this, but Tennessee has played more overtime games than any other football team in the history of college football.
Didn't we play in one of the – or no, our first one we ever played in was in 98 against Florida. Because before 95, I'm pretty sure it was, you tied.
Yep.
There were no overtimes. You just tied.
There's been some crazy overtime games now, man. I could sit here and name probably 6 or 7 just off the top of my head that have went crazy. That Kentucky game back in, what was it, 07, 08?
07.
That was a crazy game. I think we combined like 1,300 yards of offense, like 16 touchdowns. Absolutely insanity.
Oh, the Arkansas game in 02. I was there for that one.
Man, that's another classic right there.
And that one, it just seemed like it was never going to end.
How I felt about that Texas A&M game back in 16 that went to double OT.
Yeah, it just felt like it lasted longer than it actually did.
Crazy stuff, man. I mean, shoot, how many overtime games did they play that season? There was that one. They had the App State game to open the season.
Ooh.
I mean, was it 17 the year after that they played Georgia Tech to what, like 3 overtimes or something?
I thought it was just one.
It might have been just one. I mix them up. But a lot of overtime games with Tennessee.
You know, we start talking about the failures of the basketball program. Can we talk about how close of a disaster it could have been in 2015 and 16 had we lost some of those games that we nudged out?
It's untellable where we'd be as a program now. Or, well, I mean, realistically, you look, that could have invoked change quicker too, though.
That it could, and then you alter history.
Yep.
That's what's crazy about some of this stuff. It's like, well, if we had done this then or done that back then, it's like, well, guess what? You just altered everything going forward.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they always say that, you know, football, basketball, baseball, golf, hockey, everything is a game of inches, man. And that's on and off the field. The slightest change, you know, leads to a ripple effect.
It does. I mean, let's see here. Let's pull up the results from – I want to go 2015 first. Because that team was only like, what, 11 points away from being undefeated?
Yep.
Let's actually go to 2016. I want to see this one because we almost lost South Carolina that year. So you go to the 2016 Tennessee football season. And there were some other games that didn't necessarily end close, but we were out of that game early on, and it could have been bad. Very bad. So like we mentioned, you open up the year on a Thursday against App State, number 9 in the country. And you are getting national championship hype already. App State, You only win 20-13 in overtime.
On a recovered fumble in the end zone.
Yeah. Virginia Tech, you won that game 45-24. That was getting out of hand early. I mean, getting out of hand very early. And then we only beat Ohio by 9 points. Think about that. Ohio. Yep.
There are two games that I think of like that. That Ohio game and the UMass game. Both of those games. And Charlotte. That was another bad one under Jones.
That UMass game was horrendous.
North Texas. A few of them.
The thing is, these next two games, Florida had us beat going into halftime. They had us beat. We were down 21-3 going into halftime. I thought we were beat. And then Georgia, Butch Jones used the last of his magic on that game.
Yeah, you could tell because as soon as the game was over, he rolled his ankle and then tried to sell it like he was celebrating.
Oh, God.
The cringiest thing of all time, man.
He couldn't even jump.
Couldn't even jump.
You actually could have went like 4-8, 3-9 that year.
Easily. If not for the talent we had, we would have.
That is almost sickening.
It is, man. It truly is. I mean, and he would have been gone immediately. There would have been no 2017. It wouldn't have happened like that. I mean, it would have probably happened under somebody else, but it wouldn't have happened under Jones.
Somebody could have at least come in and salvaged what was left. Could have salvaged something. But
somebody would have came in prior to the 2016 team that actually knew what they were doing. That's a national championship team.
Well, and the thing is, the quote from everybody was 8-4 or hit the door, and he finished 8-4 with a loss to Vanderbilt.
Nice punctuation mark there.
Well, and everything that had happened up to that point, you know, you had the incident with Jalen Hurd to where he didn't travel to Texas A&M, and then a few weeks later he's off the team. You'd already lost Preston Williams. And then the next year, it gets even worse with Jawan Jennings getting hurt in the opening game. And then he shows up to practice before the Vanderbilt game wanting to play quarterback. And they tell him no. And obviously, Butch Jones is gone by this point. Brady Hoke tells him no.
Brady Hoke, baby.
And then he gets dismissed from the team after his Instagram tirade. And everyone's like, well, this is a bad image. I looked at it from the perspective of, well, he's right. It's like, did he need to throw all these words in there? Probably not, but everything he said was pretty spot on. He didn't lie.
It needed to be said.
Yeah, it needed to be said. Man alive, what an era of just false hope.
Like Days of Our Lives around here for 15 years. Just drama all over the place.
And you know what's funny? What do we hear now? We only hear about just a little bit, maybe once or twice a year. Normally during the summer, it is Chatty Cathy with everything coming out of the athletic department. It's quiet. It's very quiet right now.
Yep, that's a good thing. That's a good sign.
And I don't hate it at all. That's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.